quick, we need to do a test on Hannah's mic. Is it working?
Testing.
Okay, thank you.
Why am I here? What good is this life anyway? This life is nothing but misery. I am mocked and teased by everyone I know, and I cannot stand it. I have no purpose in this life. Why? Why am I here?
Is anyone sitting here?
No.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I saw you sitting here and I thought you might want some company.
Thanks.
If you don't mind me asking, what's wrong?
This life? This life, it's nothing but agony and misery and hate, and I am mocked and teased by everyone I know. I am hated by everyone I know, and I cannot stand it. My life is constant misery. I go home, and my parents are fighting. I go to school, and I'm just not pretty enough to be accepted anywhere. I've tried everything to fit in, from starving myself to cutting to just changing the way I act, and nothing works. It just makes it worse. And if you think you can help me, think again. I have tried so hard to escape my pain, and it doesn't work.
Look, I know you think I have no room to talk, and I know I can't help you, but I know someone who can. Look, in the Bible, it tells of how God sent his son Jesus down to this earth, and he died the death that you deserve. He was beaten and hated just the way you were, but even worse, he was pierced to a cross for you. His grace, it goes beyond the ocean, and his forgiveness far greater than any human could ever give you.
How do you know that's true? That all came from a book. A book is just paper and ink. Anyone could have wrote that.
But the difference is that the Bible is God-breathed. Every word from it came from God, and I know it's real because I felt his love and his presence. I was the way you were. I was bulimic, but God helped me overcome that. When I'm discouraged, I cry out to him, and he helps me. He died for you.
Die for me. Why would anyone want to die for me?
Because the wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die the horrifying death that he did. The man who never sinned died for everyone's sin.
Hey, it's getting late. I probably should get going.
Take this with you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
die. Die for me. Why would... No. No one would die for me.
Thank you. Why did they have to do this? Why did they kill him? Why did he let them kill him? Why? Why did he have to die? Die for me!
Bless the Lord. We continue to use every means, everything possible to communicate this great message of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Thank you so much, team, for what you have done already to produce that. This morning I'm going to take a few more minutes to just kind of add a sequence to that. I need a little bit of light so I can see my notes. I'm not used to being in the limelight. I tell you, the spotlight is on me this morning. That's good. You know, today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And we've just seen it so vividly portrayed here. And, of course, I wrote to several people. The Easter announcement started at 5 this morning. You might ought to think a little bit, you know, when you start sending it the night before that it's going to wake people up. But I needed to get up, I'm sure, and just get prepared for today. But I wrote back that Good Friday was not Good Friday until Sunday morning. It was Bad Friday. In fact, one of the authors that I read said Saturday was the worst day because it was in between. And there was a lot of disappointment that was there. And this morning, what I want to share with you for just a few moments is that we are part of that same morning that they realized that Jesus was alive. Or at least someone had thought it. All had not done it. It's a familiar scripture that is in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 through 36. And it's the walk and the talk of two disciples. They're really not named. All of them are not named. But it was a time where that there was disappointment. There was a loss of hope. There was a loss of faith. They were fearful. They were hiding because they knew not what the next step was. And so a couple of them said, let's take a walk. Let's go to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus in 1907. No, 2007. In 2007, Charlotte and I were eating at a restaurant, and they said, you know where we are? I said, where? They said, you're on the road to Emmaus. These two were on the road to Emmaus. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. It was about a two-hour walk. You could probably do it. Some of these joggers could do it less than that. But they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. You see, they had lost their dear master. They were hoping that he would be the king. You saw the drama here. Look at your king. Well, they, as he entered Jerusalem last Sunday, they were looking at him as the king, but it was not the king we have today. It was to be a conquering king that would free them from Roman rule. And when they saw that that wasn't what he had in mind, they turned against him. I think about the scripture in John that says that it was a hard saying, and many turned back and followed him no more. And people are doing that today. I have a great, great burden for backsliders that know the way, but they turned away from him, and they need to come home. They had lost him. They were fearful. They were disappointed. They had expectations about him that didn't come to pass. They had given up the cause. They knew not what other course to take to bring back that hope that they had. Verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and walk, and you're so sad? You see, Jesus started walking beside them, but they did not know him. He was there with them. No matter where you've gone in life, no matter what difficulties that you've had, no matter what problems you've encountered, no matter what losses that you've had, I want to tell you that Jesus was always there beside you. There's a familiar old song that says he was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was with you, and he knows. And yet, he was using a little technique here by asking them, why are you so sad? What is your conversation? Verse 18, then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? The whole town's talking about it. You've not known the things which happen these days? Can't imagine any man that would be such a stranger in a city when it was the talk of the town, and you say you don't know what we're talking about? Verse 19, he said to them, what things? This was a technique Jesus was using. He knew what they were doing, but he knew what he was doing. They said to him, the things concerning this Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Verse 21, we were hoping You ever been there? Where that something you were hoping didn't come to pass? I think about the people that are out on bond, or maybe they're laying out in a county jail and they don't even know when their court case is coming up. And finally, they realize that they're in court that morning and they're hoping. I pray with many and they say, would you pray with me about my case? They're hoping. And all of a sudden, what they were hoping for didn't take place. There was no probation. There was no small sentence. It was brought down. They were hoping. Here it says, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today's the third day which these things have happened. Yes, certain women of our company arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. They didn't find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just like the woman had said. But they didn't find him. Him they did not see. Verse 25. Then he, who? Jesus, the one walking with them on the road. He's walking with you on your road today. I don't know where your Emmaus is, but he's walking with you today. He said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And look at verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Why don't you do that? Why don't you say, I'm going to begin right there in Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. Really, there's only one Bible, and it's all about Jesus. He is the King. I think about Luke 4, verse 20. He closed the book. He went into the synagogue and he began to read. He began to be there as a teacher, as a rabbi. And he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. Now, all of the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. There was just something about this reader, something about this rabbi, something about this teacher, something about this master. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want to say the same thing right now. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We are those on Sunday morning. We are those who have experienced the resurrection. We are those who have a Jesus that is alive today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He sat down. There was something different about that. He bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. They said, is this not Joseph's son? He was being revealed. Verse 28 of Luke 24. They drew near the village where they were going. I like this. Shows a little humor, a little technique in Jesus. And he indicated that he was going to walk on past them because they were turning in. But they constrained him. There was something about this man. They said, abide with us. It's toward the evening. The day is spent. So he went in to stay with them. Perhaps they began to suspect something when he walked in, and instead of being the guest, he became the host. Because when they sat down, it was he who undertook the office of the feast, which he performed so like himself, like he used to do among his disciples. These two looking on, they begin to discern something, because it says in verse 30, it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. He did this in the usual air of authority and affection, with the same gestures as the master of the house would do, the same expressions in craving a blessing and giving the bread to them. I so love our communion services here. It could be every week. It could be on Wednesday night too. It could be every day. He says, as often as you meet, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And he is coming. Maranatha. So there he was. He took the bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ. You realize how big that body is? You realize how big a loaf of bread that is? It goes around the world. I started this morning with some words in Romanian of what they do for about 4, 5, 6 weeks after Easter. And they say in Romanian, Christ is risen. The congregation says, yes, he's risen indeed. And already, as I was praying for those pastors this morning, well, I realized, oh, they're ready for their night service. It's not Easter morning there. It's a night service, but they were doing it again. I guarantee you. And he blessed it. I love our communion when we realize that the cup that we drink out of together, as we hold those emblems, then we partake of it together, that it symbolizes the blood of Jesus that makes our sins forgiven. Just like you saw this morning, those things, that's a reality of today that happens. And Jesus took that upon himself. I do believe that was his greatest pain, was a pure, sinless Son of God. God himself becoming sin for us, that our sins could be forgiven, that we would accept him, we would repent, we would come to him, and that blood of Jesus would take our sins away. Thank you, Lord. And not only that, but because it's his blood in us, we're brothers and sisters. We're part of a family. We're community. We are there. It's many times in a family, well, you look like your dad, or you take after your mom, and so on. Well, our family's not quite that way because we take after Jesus. We resemble Jesus. And we look around and we see the variety. Last Sunday, I preached about how that even those that are despised, Jesus loved. Look at someone beside you and say, Jesus loves you and I love you too. If you do. You see, we're loved by Jesus. We're loved by Jesus this morning. And that communion cup makes us blood brothers and sisters, and we have the same Father. We may have a different color, we may have a different language, but we're the same because we're part of the family of God. Something happened when he gave them that communion that day. Their eyes were opened. I hope this morning your eyes have been opened to a day that we celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection. We celebrate our sins being forgiven and a new life. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So this morning, we're walking in newness of life. We have buried ourselves in baptism and risen ourselves, even as Christ did, and because he lives, we can live also, as the song says. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow, whatever that might be. Jesus, our Lord. Their eyes were open, and they knew him. It was not just saber, which means to know about something. It was conocer, which means to know him intimately. I ask you this morning, do you know him? Are you just religious? Are you just following some rules that you've put or discipline upon yourself? There's a lot of people that they're good in what they do. They've learned some rules. They've learned some ways to act. I'm told that in Cuba, that every church has people that can raise their hands and praise the Lord. They can pray. They can sing. And yet, they're government spies that have been planted in the congregation. There may be some people here like that this morning. Not government spies, hopefully not. But maybe you've learned how. You've learned how. You have learned an ordeal. You have learned how to act like a believer. But until you really know him, there will be no joy. It will be a drudgery to act like a Christian when you're not. It will be a drudgery to sit and listen to a worship service. You get fidgety. When are they going to get through? I hope they get through. I have one more. Oh, please not. But I tell you, when you know him, when you know the power of his resurrection, when you know the fellowship of his suffering, when you know him, when you know this Jesus we're talking about, you long to be with him. You long to hear his word. You long to be able to say, I want to serve him. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in my life is serving you. Because it's a personal relationship with Jesus that only comes from being truly born again. It only comes from godly sorrow that works repentance, which means that you're sick and tired of being the way you were. No more facade, no more hypocrisy, no more acting, but saying, I am a sinner. I am in need of God. No excuses. I fall on my face before God and I cry out to him for repentance because I need Jesus. Their eyes were open and he vanished from their sight. Are your eyes open this morning? Verse 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? A burning heart. Be a good title for this message, a burning heart. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? When he opened the scriptures to us, they knew something was different. But then they saw him as he really was. And he vanished from their sight. Verse 33. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered with them together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Can you say that? The Lord is risen indeed. And because he lives, I can live for him. He's appeared to Simon. They told about the things that had happened on the road. And how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And they begin to believe. They begin to believe. Jesus appeared several other times there. He could walk through doors. He could eat with them. He even made breakfast on the Sea of Galilee. And they never did ask him how he got those fish. He had hot rolls. Some people think that he said, okay, devil, you want me to turn the rocks into bread. I'll do it now on my terms. He might have even had butter and honey. Who knows? And then he went out and they followed him out there. And he gave the Great Commission. And he told them to go into Jerusalem till they be endued with power on high, to tarry. And it says they were in one accord, one mind. 10 days, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came and filled them, with fire, filled them with power, filled them with a message. Peter, who had been one that had betrayed Jesus, he stood up with the 11, said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, and it's the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall see visions. Your older men will see dreams. And I have visions. And he says this is that. And 3,000 people were added to the church at one time. Because he is alive today. He's alive today. And you know, he left that with basically 11 men and 120 in the upper room. 500 saw him, but only 120 obeyed him. He left it and he went back. He sat down at the right hand of the Father and he sent down the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit's been at work every day since then. They have tried in every way to destroy the church. I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And though there's been all sorts of persecutions and everything that has gone on in the meantime, and yet we have a church today that's all around the world, people that call upon the name of the Lord. It may not all have the same title or name, but those that truly know him personally, they're our family, And many have gone ahead of us, and they are in heaven today, and they are worshiping this King Jesus that is there, and they're beckoning us on. That great multitude is there, and they are cheerleading us. Come on. Come on, church. You can make it. Stay true to the Lord. Don't give up. Get ready for persecution. But we were there, and we even died for our faith. And look at us now. We're alive again, just like Jesus. Ask Mariah to come back at this time. What is your response to what you've seen and heard today ever since the first song? It's been real. It's been so powerful today. It's been a great day of celebration. But I know that there's some people here that maybe you're like these disciples. You lost hope. There's been something there you were hoping. And yet, we have the one who is hope today. Our church name says hope, living hope. But actually, we have to have him. He is our hope. And he will restore that hope. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come and just come across the front here this morning. And we're going to give you a chance to do one of two things. You can have someone pray with you, or you can just come and kneel by yourself and do business with the Lord. I just feel restoration this morning. How to have your hope restored. You may be here today and you've never really been what we call saved. You might have been coming to this church for a while, but you've never really been saved. You cannot, you know, there's a song that says, I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. And maybe you need to come and give your life to the Lord this morning. Or maybe you've, like those backsliders I talked about, you've wandered far away from God, but you say, I'm coming home today. I'm coming home on this Resurrection Sunday. I want to know him personally. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be able to be a true disciple. I want my eyes to be opened so that I will be able to follow him. Father, this morning I pray. I pray, Lord, that you would take everything that's been done today from the first opening song, Lord, to the drama, the purpose. Lord, I pray you'll give people here that have lost their purpose a real purpose in life. Jesus, I pray. Lord God, we pray today that this would be a day that we bow before you, that we honor you with ourselves. Jesus. Thanks be unto God. Lord Jesus, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come in this place. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to people's hearts. If there's been no godly sorrow in their lives, I pray that they would be moved to godly repentance, to put away those sins, to turn towards you with all their heart, all their life, all their strength, to live a new life with purpose in you. Lord, to make this a day of resurrection of their deadness. Oh God, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, just pray in your seat this morning. Let every place be an altar today. Lord Jesus, we pray. Strengthen, Lord God, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for the altar. Altar is a place of death. It's a place of putting to death those things that should not be there. Putting it to death. That we'd be able to walk in newness of life. Resurrection power in Jesus, our Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just bow your heads and seek the Lord today. We got a few minutes. Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. La Semana Santa. It's also called Pascua, which comes from Passover. Thank you, Lord, that your witness has endured through all of the centuries. And Lord, we pray for your church. We pray the fear of God to come into this nation again, Lord. We pray for the fear of God to come in your church again, Lord. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for revival. We pray for revival here at Church of Living Hope. Pray for revival in our hearts and our lives today, Lord. Bring it about, God. Bring it about, God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you have permission to change any order of our service ever, Lord. We never want to grieve you away, Lord. We never want to quench the Holy Spirit. Bring it about, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Don't leave without hope this morning. Hope is here. His name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Receive the touch of the Lord this morning. He's not in that tomb. He's risen. Amen. I took that picture. It's real. It's empty. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In your heart this morning, can you say, I've decided to follow Jesus and I won't turn back? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. It's all about Jesus this morning. He's alive. Bless the Lord. Precious Jesus. In the presence of the Lord, wonderful. No other place in the world better than sitting in the presence of the Lord. Sitting with His people that love Him. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is alive. Amen. He is risen and He is alive. And He's living in me. Is He living in you? Hallelujah. Well, before we dismiss this morning, I just want to make sure we've got some cards. And the first 10 people that came in this morning, my lovely wife and a team are going to be waiting in the foyer right there on your way out. And I want you to make sure to please stop by the connection corner. It's a little table right there. And we want to make sure that that we give you a gift, okay? And those people are Whitney Crawford. I believe Juan Alvarado. Terry Williams. Kyle Parnell, Stanley, I can't make out your last name. Stanley here? Kofer? Stanley, you here still? Prayerfully, maybe? Oscar? Tinoco? Yadira Tinoco? Kendra Hanker? Am I getting that? Is Kendra here? Okay. All right. Hey, what's up, man? You guys make sure. And Angelica Alvarez. And that's it. So you guys please make sure on your way out this morning that you stop by the Connection Corner table there, okay? We got a very special gift we want to make sure you get. And all my guys going with me to Dallas, we're gonna get ready to leave here in just a few minutes. We've got a team of about 10 of us that are fixing to go to the inner city of Dallas. We're going to join with the Dallas Dream Center because, you know, we're the Tyler Dream Center here. And we partner with an outreach ministry in Dallas, and we're going to take, again, about 10 of us to the inner city of Dallas and help the Dream Center there do an Easter service for their community. They're expecting over 300 people to be at this outreach today. And so, again, we're going to take about 10 of us there and just go be a blessing, amen, to the city of Dallas today. So be praying for us, please. Bless you guys. Have an amazing Resurrection Sunday because He is alive. Amen. He is alive. He conquered death.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? There's probably a couple of hundred people here, and there's a couple of hundred cups of coffee available in there as you fellowship. It's an instant maker, so maybe if we run out, we can make some more in 4 minutes, they tell me. Stretch your hand this way. I want to just give you a blessing, and I want you to fellowship one with another and have a great afternoon. Eat some good food. Have some fellowship. But it's not about Easter eggs. It's about Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and bless someone that does not know this resurrection power. Explain to them what you heard this morning, and it'll be a witness to the world that Jesus is alive. Love you all. See you Wednesday night. Bless you.